You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Going to spend some time right now on what will be one of the biggest stories, if not the biggest story of the week locally, and what Napa Valley Register is now called a wildfire summit that will be taking place tomorrow as part of the Board of Supervisors meeting. We have two guests to talk about some of these issues today about wildfire prevention and the wine industry specifically. And guest number one, Rex Stultz from Napa Valley Vintners. Rex, welcome in.
Good morning. Thank you.
And joining us via telephone is Rick Jones from Jones Family Vineyards. He is a past chair of the Napa Valley Vintners Board and is currently chairman of the Napa Valley Vintners Fire Prevention and Mitigation Committee. Rick, you hear me and you coming through good?
I hear you. I hope I'm coming through good.
You are indeed. All clear. Great. So let's get started. And Rex, I talked with you briefly about this off the air. Maybe you can give us a little bit of a scene setter. What we talked about, what you were saying, is you've been spending almost all of your time on this one particular topic.
Well, I've been spending a lot of time on this topic, but the topic merits it. You know, we had two disastrous wildfires last year. They affected each and every one of us in Napa County. I know for the wine industry, which is the backbone of the economy, it employs 44,000 of us, either directly or indirectly. It was devastating. And just to the wine industry alone, more than $2 billion in economic damage is the projected figure when it's all said and done. That includes wineries burned, vineyards burned, inventory lost, but especially damage to the grape harvest last year and how that carries through the process. But Rick has an even more personal story.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it. Rick?
Well, it's not a story I love to tell, but the glass fire broke out around 4 a.m., about 500 yards from my home and vineyard. And my wife and I evacuated. The fire rushed down a canyon in front of the vineyard, came back up, rushed through our property, burned about half of our vineyard, but the vineyards and the fuel clearing that we'd done around the property saved the house. So we now have a very different view than we used to, and it has become one of the issues that I've been spending a lot of time on as well.
I was mentioning earlier in previewing this that you know, the pandemic has been hard on the wine industry as well, but the pandemic will end, whether that's in a few months or you know, another year, we don't know, but it will come to an end. The wildfire issue is not going to, with climate change and increasing temperatures and different winds than we're used to seeing. We're all familiar with this scenario. The question becomes, what can be done about it? And so that's where this prevention mitigation part comes in. So Rick, tell us, what's the focus been? What are the techniques, methods? What are you advocating for and trying to do?
Well, there are multiple opportunities that we've uncovered as we've done our question and answers with various people in the fire community. The one that is first and foremost is the work that the Napa Community Firewise Foundation has been spearheading to create a wildfire protection plan for the county. It's the first one the county has ever done on a countywide basis. It is the state of the art right now in terms of identifying the risks and the areas that need to be mitigated for fuel reduction, and that's the biggest opportunity that the county is facing right now. We've let our forests throughout the county grow to a point where they are ticking time bombs for fires that start in a small patch, can spread like wildfire, as the word says. And Firewise Foundation will be presenting tomorrow to the Board of Supervisors their recommendations for a multi-year fuel mitigation and reduction program, and the Vintners are 100% behind that effort and urging the Board of Supervisors to fully fund the effort beginning this year.
And so, Rex, direct us a little bit. When talking about funding this effort, you're talking about hiring crews to do clearing work, hiring crews to do prescribed burns, both those things and other things. What's the approach?
Well, we've seen the several iterations of this Community Wildfire Protection Plan over the last couple of months. Haven't seen the final one, and we'll see it tomorrow along with anybody else tuned into the day-long summit on wildfires. And the plan is really multiple years in development. So it didn't just start since the last fires. It was been in the work before that. And it's a whole series of plans from various aspects throughout the county. But the most urgent, and as Rick said, we've talked to a number of fire experts and professionals, and they said if there was really one thing that we should be doing before this fire season to mitigate or offset the likelihood of another disastrous wildfire or two, it's to get rid of the fuel load on the ground now. And to the greatest degree we can do that, it will minimize the likelihood of another disastrous wildfire.
Mm-hmm. And that involves machinery and hand crews out there working in the woods.
I don't know if I have the level of expertise to answer that. Do you, Rick?
Well, I have only a little bit more than you do, but yes, it does. It includes a variety of techniques. Most of them are physically removing the undergrowth, creating a clear path or a shaded fuel break, as the experts call it. And it's very labor intensive, but we believe that the resources are there, if the dollars are there, to be able to get it accomplished. Using a variety of different resources to provide the crews and so on.
Mm-hmm. So normally when this type of proposal comes up, whether it's about wildfire or some other issue, you're going to run into some environmental pushback, environmental organizations or advocates in terms of habitat and wildlife impact and I don't know if runoff is a question. I'm sure you've spent a lot of time on that aspect of it. Is there pushback? Are people saying, no, we should not be changing the way the forests are?
It's interesting, and that's a good question. I have not seen or heard anybody pushing back on this. Even the folks that live in the hills and, are often advocates for trees and et cetera, et cetera. They suffered. They suffered as much as anybody really. And so I guess we'll see more tomorrow if there's any particulars or aspects of it some folks don't like, but right now I haven't heard anybody pushing back on any of this. This is a existential crisis that affects all of us, and it'd be awfully tough to be advocating against something like this right now.
Mm-hmm. Rick, what do you think about that?
Well, as Rex says, we've not heard any yet. That's the purpose of the public hearing tomorrow, and so we'll find out. We do think that clearing the undergrowth so that the fires don't become wildfires is actually helping the environment. The toxic pollution, the intensity of the smoke that comes off of an uncontrolled wildfire is much more devastating to public health and safety than a well-managed and an effective effort to clear the undergrowth before the fire starts. So mm-hmm. We're hoping that it doesn't happen, but we'll see tomorrow.
You know, it's I'm not a big one for finding somebody to blame or, you know, looking into the past all the time and saying, well, the reason everything's screwed up is because of these people and these decisions. And yet, in this one area, there has been, over time, lots of different thoughts about how forests should be. We've heard stories, I don't know how well they can be verified, about the American Indian and the sort of controlled burn processes that they used and pre-European colonization. Do we have examples to look to such as that or in other wildfire-prone places? I'm thinking about Australia as one as a good example that can show us that this path will help to solve the problem in some way. Rick, you want to take that on?
Well, again, Barry, I think as Rex said before, we are looking at the impact of this on our industry. This is not an area where at least I don't have and Rex has not had the kind of in-depth expertise to know that. We've been at this for several months now. We're listening to people who are much more knowledgeable, and we're trying to identify those mitigations and efforts that we think have a near-term payback and that we can get behind. But those are questions that probably somebody more familiar with the topic I'll be addressing rather than us.
And some of those folks will be at the hearing tomorrow, I'm sure.
Well, I imagine so. We haven't, as Rick said, you know, studied Australia or the underlying cause of the, you know, the history of it that much. It's been so urgent, and that we're kind of looking more at the task at hand and looking at the immediate next steps that need to happen before this fire season. And we have spent some time looking beyond it. We've also spent some time. We have, you mentioned that Rick chairs the Fire Prevention and Mitigation Committee we have, which we had, boy, more than 40 vintners flock to that right away and growing. Beneath that, there are three task forces, each with a chair and a specific thing that they're working on. And one of those task forces was looking at how our fire system is set up in Napa County. And is it the optimal for the citizens of Napa County versus other ways of doing it? And here in Napa County, we outsource this to Cal Fire, and our fire chief, our county fire chief, works for Cal Fire. And we've looked at other ways of doing it, but that's more kind of looking into the future. And really right now, in my opinion, we need to focus on what's right in front of us. I mean, it's already April. The summer's just around the corner, and we need to have some action taken tomorrow, and all of us need to be pulling in that direction.
So you're asking the county to commit funding to this. To what degree? How much? Is there a specific figure?
That's a number that we're waiting to see also from the presentation that the Firewise Foundation will be making to the board tomorrow. We've seen drafts of the Wildfire Protection Plan. We've heard estimates that are in the millions of dollars, but we'll all learn tomorrow when we see the actual presentation from the Firewise Foundation, what they believe it will take, and then we will be recommending to the board that they fully fund whatever the Firewise Foundation is asking for. This has to be done soon, and we should be able to find the funds within our resources to be able to get it going.
And if you look into the future, I mean, this, as I said, tomorrow's an important day for this fire season and into the future. This is not going to be, as you mentioned earlier, this is going to be around for a while, a long while, and it's going to take a long-term plan and long-term funding, and we've started having those discussions a little bit, but it'd be interesting to see where that goes. But at the end of the day, this is going to take a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of focus, and a lot of money in the long term.
And as you know, governments tend to want to say, this is a new expense. We don't have existing budget for it. All of our other money is accounted for. There has to be a new source of revenue. Is this a situation where the vintners, the members of the vintners are willing to contribute to, as they've done with farm worker housing and other needs, health care, obviously, over many years? Or is it more of a situation of some kind of general taxation or some kind of fee program that everybody would participate in?
Well, it's a little hard to answer that right now. We'll be a part of whatever the solution ends up being. We'll definitely be at the table and be having a say in that and working hand in glove with our local elected officials and other partners in this effort. But I think it's probably premature to say what the long-term solution is. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Rick.
Yeah, I would add that Rex mentioned we've got three task forces set up. One of those is to look at what our members, that is members of the grape growing and winemaking community in Napa, can do on their own properties. And we know that our members and people in the industry are spending millions of dollars protecting, clearing, and setting up defensive areas around their properties. So this will be a private-public partnership any way it goes. We've urged the county to look at providing incentives for all landowners in the wildlands areas to protect their own properties and to start clearing the fuel on their own properties and not wait for the government to come by and do it for them.
Very interesting. There's been, by the way, a lot of good reporting on these issues and this upcoming meeting in the Napa Valley Register, at least two good in-depth stories. I would encourage everybody to go and review those.
Another one this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the helicopter story this morning.
Right. That's exactly where I was headed.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. The two different trains of thought on aircraft represented in that story to a large degree. Some people advocating for helicopters for firefighting, other for fixed-wing aircraft. There's talk about stationing craft permanently at the airport in Angwin, I guess it is. There's talk about being able to fly certain vehicles out of Lake County. Is your committee involved in any of that? Is somebody looking at those issues of air support for firefighting?
Go ahead, Rick.
No, go ahead, Rick.
I was going to say we've had a presentation or two. It hasn't been. We've known that the discussions are going on out there. I don't think we haven't taken any official position on a helicopter versus a plane or what have you. I think that anything that's helpful is helpful, and the more tools we have in our toolbox, the better off we're going to be next fire season and beyond.
Yeah, it does seem like you end up coming back over and over again talking about automatic cameras detecting fire starts, sort of strike team, people ready to go quickly, not waiting for, hours for crews to get in, seems to be one of the only things you can really do, because if you don't curb them when they're small, we all see what happens, right? So some combination of all these different technological and old-fashioned resources.
Yeah, we made four recommendations, our group and our board of directors did, to the board of supervisors, and one of them had to do with that instant detection devices and early alert system to the firefighters so they can get on these things quicker. I mean, the faster that they're responding, the less likely they are to grow into something out of control.
Mm-hmm. Now, one perspective on all of this might be to say, as you just mentioned, with the fire detection, early detection, artificial intelligence kind of interaction. Saw a story recently, Sonoma County has been looking into that big time, right? So you have county by county, region by region, people trying to solve this problem, and yet it's a statewide problem. The fire doesn't respect any county lines or appellations. It just does its thing. Why is this not more of the state's problem to deal with and to fund?
Well, I think the state has recognized it as a major issue, not just in our counties, but throughout the state. And Governor Newsom has proposed over $1 billion to supplement what has been a much lower level of spending in the past, I think hundreds of millions rather than $1 billion. So the state is responding. Look, this is an existential issue, and I think efforts at the county levels, efforts at the local levels, as well as efforts at the state levels and the federal level are all necessary to get on this. There is no silver bullet. It's going to take everybody on board to get it done. And we're encouraging anyone who has the ability to make a difference in fire prevention or mitigation to come to the table and to help us get it done so that it improves Napa County as well.
It's terrific. It's absolutely, of course, timely and necessary, and it's another opportunity for Napa to do what it's become kind of famous for, and that's like getting together and solving problems. So I wish you Godspeed, both of you, and tomorrow and throughout this process. Any final message for folks listening? Are you looking for anybody to sign a petition or to write to their supervisors or anything like that?
Well, thanks for the opportunity to come in and talk about this. I think for the folks listening, I would encourage them to tune in to the Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow. You don't have to go to the county building and sit there physically. For those of us here in Napa, do what I do and sit in your comfy chair and watch it on Channel 28. And or you can tune in on Zoom, which we're all very accustomed to these days, and to make a public comment. There's going to be many opportunities throughout the meeting for public comment, and we hear that the fire issues will start around 10 o'clock tomorrow and go throughout the morning. They're going to break for lunch and come back and go throughout the afternoon. There's a number of issues related to wildfire prevention and mitigation on the agenda, and people have the opportunity to chime in and offer their opinions throughout the day. So whether you're in the wine industry, the hospitality industry, you might be retired and sitting at home right now having a cup of coffee and listening to this, it should be important to you, no matter who you are. Yeah. We all suffer through the smoke, the fire damage and everything else. And this should be important to all of us. And so I'd encourage folks to take the opportunity tomorrow and pick up the phone, and you could just call in and say, hey, I think this is a great idea. Please pursue this instant detection device, whatever it may be. There's a lot of good ideas being discussed tomorrow, and I would encourage folks to do it. And I would encourage the Board of Supervisors to put together a great agenda tomorrow. I have to commend the county on this, and I hope that they will carry that through and take some action tomorrow.
Very good. And that's all right after Dr. Relucio, who we talked with earlier this morning, will have her presentation for the week. And that's very important as well, because we don't know if we're going to get orange or not this week. So learn more about that in the 9 o'clock hour at the Soups, and then 10 o'clock for all of this. I think that's going to be the top rated Channel 28 show of the week, probably.
Imagine so.
Rick, any final thought?
No, I would echo what Rex has just said. I guess the one other thought I have is that if any of your listeners live in the fire risk zones around the county, there are local fire safe councils. Your neighbors have banded together to try to figure out how to make your neighborhood more safe. Look them up and join a fire safe council. And the more resources we have locally as well as countywide and statewide, the better off we'll be when the next fire season comes on us.
Terrific. Rick Jones, Jones Family Vineyards, you said that you had some vineyard damage from the fire last year. Are you able to grow some fruit this year?
We are. A bud break has occurred. Some of the vines are coming back. A few of them are not, but we will definitely have a harvest this year, and we're looking forward to another great Napa Valley vintage.
All right. Great place to wrap it up. Rick Jones, Jones Family Vineyards, and Rex Stoltz, Napa Valley Vintners, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
All right.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa. 1440 AM at KVON.com.